You're listening to the OCD Stories podcast, hosted by me, Stuart Ralph. The OCD Stories is a podcast dedicated to raising awareness and understanding around obsessive compulsive symptoms. I do this through interviewing inspired therapists, psychologists, and people who have experienced OCD. Welcome to the OCD Stories.
And welcome to episode 365. And in this one, I chat with Niels Thiessen about his OCD story. Now, bear with me, I still have a bit of a sore throat, as you can probably hear. We discuss Niels' OCD story, in particular OCD themes such as hit-and-run OCD, contamination OCD with HIV fears, harm OCD, relationship OCD, and paedophile-themed OCD. We discuss what helped him, seeing 9 to 10 psychologists and psychiatrists who didn't identify OCD. Niels is a medical doctor, so we discuss how he is helping his patients with OCD now, finding a therapist that could help him, and much, much more.
And thank you to NoCD for supporting the podcast. NoCD offers effective and convenient therapy available in the US and outside the US. To find out more about NoCD, their therapy plans, if they currently take your insurance, or to download their free app, head to go.treatmyocd.com/theocdstories, or the link will be in the episode description.
So thank you to you guys, as always, for listening. I deeply appreciate it. Without further ado, here is Niels. Welcome to the show, Niels.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure for me.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. So as you know, I'd love to hear your OCD story. So if you could share that now in as much or as little detail, that'd be good.
All right. So I thought I might be helpful to introduce myself really, really quick. So my name is Niels. I'm 45 years old, living in Germany, and I'm a medical doctor by training, and I've been specialized on anesthesia. So I've been working in that field for 14 years, I guess. Mainly dealing with intensive care patients, emergency patients, and patients who actually needed surgery. So I'm not really from the psychiatric background, if you can imagine. Mm. And I'm now training for becoming a general practitioner. And this is something that I'm now doing for nearly 2 years. Yeah. And this is also the setting where I get in touch with patients that might as well be prone to depression or maybe also OCD. And I probably can say that I already, because of my experience, my own experience, actually diagnosed quite a few of them and made it possible to direct them into, successful treatment pathways, I hope, because that actually is something that I was looking for have been looking for so many years. And I actually got officially diagnosed myself with OCD a couple of months ago, in March 2022. And I think what happened by the end of 2021 is that I had to deal with a situation where me and my partner moved house from Cologne to the countryside, where the pandemic was actually really influencing also my daily life, my daily work. We were really busy vaccinating so many people and patients who were also desperately looking for vaccinations and so forth. I was actually also vaccinating patients at home, because otherwise I could have thrown the vaccine, the vaccination shots that I had left over into the bin. So that way we decided to not to do that and actually vaccinate whoever actually was capable of receiving the vaccinations. So I ended up also vaccinating people in my spare time, my free time at home. And then we had somehow a conflict within my family, also regarding to getting vaccinated or not, and that also actually raised the pressure on my mental health situation, I guess. And by the end of 2021, I was dealing with a new work situation, because I used to work as an anesthetist, but I also found out for myself that having so many night shifts and weekend shifts wasn't really a helpful thing for me, for my mental health issues. Mm. So I decided at one point of time 2 years ago that I wanted to become a general practitioner without night shifts and weekend hours. But then, of course, I had to deal with different patients. And most of the time, my patients back in the time when I was practicing in the hospital were asleep, right? So, or really ill on the intensive care unit. So, I had to somehow start again from scratch, which was fine. But I'm just trying to explain that the overall pressure situation for myself just raised massively without having control over it. And that led actually to a situation where in December 2021, I suddenly found myself driving in my car, where I really got in trouble with two OCD topics that I've never actually met before. And that was relationship OCD, and that was pedophile OCD. Mm. And that actually put me in a situation where I couldn't sleep anymore, and where I became really depressed, and then referred myself into inpatient care myself. Mm. And yeah, that was actually the situation, the starting point. And back in the time, I didn't really know what OCD actually meant, because although being a medical doctor, when I was trained back in the time, the main topics were contamination, OCD, and of course checking things and stuff. But that was obviously not what I was suffering from. So I mainly suffered from mental compulsions and intrusive thoughts that were constantly actually debating in my head, and actually also switch topics all the time. And yeah, and I always thought that this is kind of depression mainly. And yeah, I referred myself to the hospital, and what happened there, they started treatment in terms of depression. And that was also a difficult situation, as you can imagine, being a medical professional in the field, becoming a patient and staying at the hospital is not that easy to get used to. And I also had to really, I really had to try to trust the therapists over there, the doctors over there, the nurses, and they were actually great. So I somehow managed, and I got on SSRIs, low dosage though. And the thing is, and this is mainly the reason why I would like to share this situation or the story, is that I really want to support anyone to not give up hope and just keep on trying to find specialists in the field in order to get maybe a second or third opinion on what you're struggling with. Because during the therapy in that hospital, I told my psychologist that I was suffering from intrusive thoughts that were bothering me all the time, and that I couldn't find any suitable method to actually tackle this. What then happened is that, of course, I tried to cognitively solve these debates and these discussions and these issues by reassuring myself in my head all the time. And I didn't, back in the time, I didn't really know that this was actually compulsive behavior. And I also told the psychiatrist who put me on medication, and nobody reacted. So nobody in that clinic actually asked me whether I was maybe dealing with OCD symptoms. And that is why I actually started to do my own research again after leaving the clinic for after, I think, 6 weeks. And I started my own research again, because I always had the feeling that this is not it. It's not all of it. So they really managed to stabilize me in a way that I would be able to function again. But I still had the impression that this is not the solution.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a really tough time. Because also, as a medical doctor, you know all the procedures, you know quite a few things, examinations that maybe need to be done, you know. So that was really extra difficult, I guess. But luckily, I found a blog post on OCD Land, which is a homepage you might have heard of
before. I've heard of them,
yeah. And Martin Niebuhr, big shout out to him here. He's the one who created that that web page. And I found a blog post there describing exactly the symptoms I was dealing with. So I just thought this is a blog post that I could have written instead of the one who actually put it on the homepage. And it's exactly describing my situation. And then it all started actually from there, because then I got in touch with more information in terms of the different OCD topics and OCD themes. And there's also a member part on that homepage where you can actually log into and find native speaking OCD sufferers, to put it like that. And also specialists who can actually also moderate the private discussion on that webpage, and that was also helpful for me. In some way, it also triggered me, but on the other hand, it put me in a situation where I got to learn about more information, more literature to read in order to become my own specialist in terms of my themes and what was happening inside. And by dealing with that homepage, I also got in touch with my therapist, Burkhard Schupka-Schön, who has also written a German book on OCD, which I would really recommend for the ones who struggle with reading OCD stuff in English. And he's till now he's my therapist and doing a great job. And I had to change a therapist again, because the one I was referred to after my stay at the hospital was not really experienced and specialized on treating OCD, although she claimed that she was. But she also always thanked me for my knowledge in terms of OCD and treating patients with depression, and also told me that this is a wonderful situation for her to receive training while somehow treating me. And that was also kind of weird, because I thought this can't be it. I need you to actually guide me, or maybe to help me there. But it doesn't make sense that that I train you in terms of OCD literature or what I found out about it. And she also recommended the OCD Land website to her patients. So that was also a weird situation. She kept on telling me like, oh, another patient I recommended OCD Land to, and the OCD stories whatsoever, and they really appreciate it and they're super helpful for her. But it wasn't in the end helpful for me. And that's why I changed therapist, and I'm more than happy to have the therapist I currently work with. And also, when back in the time when I was really feeling bad, back in December, I saw a colleague of mine, a psychiatrist I knew from the past. And I saw her in advance because I already sensed, like, you know, if there's a life event upcoming or happening, then I might be prone to get depressed again. And I saw her back in the time when I was really suffering from my latest OCD themes. And she asked me, actually, what do you think would help you now in that situation? And again, I mean, if you're really down, and depressed, and you ask a colleague to help you out there, then you expect her to take over control and recommend treatment and maybe also medication whatsoever. But she actually didn't, and she was kind of annoyed because I needed an emergency appointment to come to see her. And this is mainly why I'm really interested in spreading the word, because this is something that's really, yeah, that's still reality in Germany. I don't know how this is like in the UK.
The same, I believe, yeah.
This is, I don't know what to say, you know. It's really hard, and I can't understand why this is happening, because, you know, OCD and depression, that's so interconnected in my opinion, and it should be possible for any psychologist or psychiatrist in the field to distinguish between the two, or at least no screening tests or questions assessments whatsoever in order to be able to figure this out. And
I completely agree. I think especially when you went to that inpatient clinic or inpatient hospital, they may not have been experts in OCD, but they should have spotted, but as soon as you said intrusive thoughts, that something should have pinged and they should have inquired. And to me, OCD is such a obvious diagnosis. As soon as you start hearing certain words, it sticks out from every other diagnosis there is. So yeah, it is frustrating.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming those colleagues. This is also a systematic failure, you know. It's the healthcare systems that have a lack of training or funding whatsoever, feedback culture. So they really did their best in order to stabilize me, but they also recommended what's it called? They didn't recommend the cognitive therapy for me, but instead recommended, what's the other one again in English? I don't know. The one that's more related to Sigmund Freud's
psychoanalysis.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the one. So that's what they actually recommended, and I refused to do that. Yeah. Because I had the feeling that this is not it. Yeah, and it's really getting worse. And you know, I'm the first time I really suffered from OCD, as far as I can remember, that actually started back in the 90s when I was a teenager, where HIV was really, really, really a topic. The time when Freddie Mercury unfortunately died, and back in the time, I can remember that I visited Amsterdam together with my parents and my family, and I became anxious because I thought my touching bars and doorknobs, whatsoever, I might have infected me with HIV. So that was the first time that I can remember really getting anxious in terms of weird things that were going on in my head. And and it's been a long road, and it's been a long and winding road. There are days where I can't really believe that I made it until here, you know, having studied medicine, having studied a master's degree in medical education, and really difficult. And I think I counted at least 10 psychiatrists or psychologists throughout the entire time that I somehow consulted in order to be able to, to talk about what was going on. And nobody actually asked me in terms of, you know, let me just ask you a few screening questions in terms of OCD. Nobody. And also I had to change the medication myself after I got released. Is that the correct word for leaving the hospital?
Yeah, released, I guess, discharged. I'm not sure what the correct terminology is, but.
Yeah. So after I was home again, I myself increased the dosage of the SSRI, which I am capable of doing so because I'm a physician, right? Mm-hmm. But I found this really horrifying to think of different people who are not able to have that network, that many colleagues to talk to, or even find the right literature in the internet and doing their own research.
Mm. Yeah, very good point. I think you're right where you said you don't necessarily blame them, because I think if I look at my own training as a therapist, I loved my training. I thought it was brilliant. But OCD, I don't remember it coming up. I want to say I don't remember it ever coming up, which is quite shocking. And that might be because obviously at that point I already knew lots about OCD, so I was fine. But some of my peers, you know, they went through their whole training and it never really came up in any meaningful way. So you've got these great therapists, but who are just very unaware of what OCD is. So, and obviously they're probably going to understand the stereotypical view, what the media has traditionally said. Someone comes in with paedophile worries or relationship worries or whatever it is, and they're not going to flag it as OCD, which is the sad thing. But it comes back to, the training and institutions.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
So when, you were driving in your car, I think you said, and you suddenly got hit by sort of relationship worries and paedophile themed worries. What was it like experiencing it in that moment? Because it sounds like you hadn't experienced that before.
Those topics were quite new to me, and it resulted somehow in, I would call it maybe also in a panic attack.
Okay.
Because I was so, I was so convinced that this was somehow true. And that, I have a partner. We are together for almost 19 years now. And I do love my partner. I do love my home. I do love my cat and my dog. So there's not that much I really need for being a happy person. But that was really, that was a really devastating thought for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I started ruminating around that topic all the time, like, always checking whether we are still connected, how that feels, how it should feel, how it felt in the past, and, always thinking around topics or, vacations in order to check out whether it's still like that or whether something has changed. And that was really exhausting, really exhausting. And in my opinion, the depression that comes along with it is just a game over sign of my brain, not being able to process this entire dialogue in my head any longer. And yeah.
Thank you for sharing. So you've been working with your therapist now for a little while. How's that going, and what sort of stuff is he or she sort of getting you to do?
Well, it's actually funny because I also told him that when I suffered from the anxiety to have infected myself with HIV, I can remember being a very young medical doctor. I think it was in my first year that I got in touch with blood that was actually contaminated with the virus, with the HI virus. And what I did back in the time, I forced myself not to wash the blood from my skin. And I drove home, and I knew all the time that I was driving home with the virus, you know, inside the car, and even on top of my skin. I knew my skin was fine. So no big scratches whatsoever. So when I got home, and then I somehow a couple hours later went into the bathroom in order to take a shower. But I did this on purpose after you know, my entire anxiety actually also decreased. And looking back, this is somehow of you know, the treatment for OCD, right? Exposure. Yeah. And I didn't know it back in the time. I just did it like that. And I can also remember when I was a medical student that one day I was really afraid of burning down the house because I might have left on the iron, which I, on the other hand, also knew I did not do that. But I was standing in the operating theater and I was working there. I couldn't really leave, so it was really hard to leave. But I had to tell the nurse, one of the nurses doing the procedure, in order to phone my the owner of the house in order to check on my room, which she then did. And of course, the iron wasn't turned on anymore. So nothing to worry about. And back in the time, I also decided not to do that anymore in the future again, which I did, and it never bothered me again. And I also did that with hit and run OCD, because I also had experience in, you know, getting anxious that I might have run over a person. And then I drove around the corner like 3-4 times in order to recheck. And I also had to say this to me loud and clear that I did not have hit any person while driving. And I also managed to see that and to acknowledge it and to stop it, to stop that behavior. But that was obvious behavior because I could actually, you know, also see it and recognize it. And I also knew how to actually deal with it. But in terms of my mental compulsions, I wasn't really able to see that, and I wasn't really able to find a strategy to cope with it. Yeah, and what we then basically did is that we talked about all my experiences, and then figured out how to actually address these intrusive thoughts by also making, you know, making fun of the thoughts or giving them names and maybe talking to those thoughts. I sometimes do that even in English, because that helps me to externalize these thoughts a bit, so I don't use my German language. So when I walk my dog in the vineyards where I'm living, then you can actually also easily find me talking in English to somebody who's actually not there, which might be a bit funny for people who actually know me and would see that. So, but this has helped me a lot in order to be able to process my emotions that come along with it. And yeah, that's some of the strategies. And of course, I need to see patients and do the examinations that are necessary, because I also I also struggled with the harm OCD, where I had the feeling that, you know, I did a certain examination in order to harm somebody, or I did the examination and actually harmed somebody by doing that, or I did an examination that wasn't really necessary, but I just wanted to do this because, you know. So that's basically what we're talking about, not avoiding situations. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about the results I get out of that strategy. So that's basically what we are doing now. We've been working together now for, I think, 6 or 7 times. So we are really at the starting point, but what helps me a lot is to actually being able to phrase my inner dialogues, and also to express my emotions and my feelings. And I really enjoy that there's somebody who is specialized in the field and has an experience of dealing with OCD patients for over 30 years now. And this was also a big relief for me, because, you know, when being a medical doctor, you always tend to diagnose yourself and not talk to colleagues about it. And at some point of time, I really needed somebody else who didn't know me in order to get a proper diagnosis, because my OCD was also messing up with me in terms of you're making this up. Actually, you're running from reality. Yeah. And you did all the bad stuff and all the bad things, and you don't want to acknowledge it. So that also came into my mind. And that was also a big relief to actually being able to talk about my themes, my topics, and tell him what I was suffering from, and to get a proper diagnosis from him.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad this therapist is working out for you and is helping. And it'd be great to see, you know, 6 months down the line, how that's working for you. And I think I want to caveat. I love that you shared that when you were a junior doctor, when you were driving home and you had the infected blood on your arm. Very brave of you, because even you telling me that made me anxious, you know. But yeah, just to caveat, anyone who's new to ERP, that no therapist is going to make you do an exposure like that. That was of your own accord. Yeah, no therapist is actually going to put you in harm's way. I mean, you knew the risks as a doctor, you knew what you were doing, but obviously it was still triggering you. And but yeah, just to reassure anyone who's new to it. Brilliant. So now you are a GP. So you're getting people now that are presenting as having OCD. And what's that like for you, kind of helping those people?
I must admit, I really love it, because of my own experience in terms of dealing with depression for so many years, and of course with dealing with OCD for so many years, and having researched so many things about the specific topics, I am actually able of screening patients that come to see us in terms of mental health issues. And it's the four of us working in that office, and also our staff members already know that they at least book like 30 minutes of time with me whenever patients come to see us and talk about their mental health issues, or have actually mental health issues. It's the area where we live and where I work is also close to the area where the big flood has actually happened 2 years ago. So we also had to deal with lots of people who really suffered from that catastrophic situation there. And I really like being empathetic and listening to people's stories and trying to find a way to help them to get better by mainly listening. And also that's sometimes a line that I have to draw. And then this is also something that I talk to and tell the people that I'm not a trained psychiatrist. So I can't provide like a psychotherapy. And that is also sometimes weird because in the city where we practice, there's quite a few people who rather come to see me in order to talk about their mental health issues rather than seeing a trained specialist in the field. Mm. And don't get me wrong, not trying to be arrogant here. But this is an issue in Germany.
Yeah.
And what I do is I try to get them diagnosed, and then every now and then, because finding psychiatrists and psychologists who have available spots for treatment is also very hard. We are talking about 6 months of waiting for receiving an appointment. Mm-hmm. What I also do is to put them on medication and do all the laboratory tests that are necessary, ECG tests that are necessary. I ask them to see me on a regular basis in order to check in how they're feeling, how they're doing. I have created a list with a bunch of resources in terms of psychoeducation, because that's also a main part, I think. And it's really important for them to be able to receive control again about their own, you know, their own health situation, so that they are able to actually then, help them themselves while waiting on a therapy, on a slot for getting therapy. And of course, I recommend OCD stories.
Thank you.
Because I have to say that also helped me a lot. Driving to my work, back and forth, listening to OCD stories and listening to all the people sharing their experiences, listening to the experts, looking up different resources again after that. So that was really helpful and really motivating, especially when you're really down. And so, yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Also providing people with the OCD Land homepage, literature, and various links on the internet. And then they can also come back again. I do a lot of assessments, like the Y-box assessment. So this is actually what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, that's really good. Really good and really thorough. And and you mentioned OCD Land again. They have a German speaking podcast as well. So
they also have a German speaking podcast. Yeah. Yeah. And also in terms of depression, there is a very famous entertainer in Germany called Harald Schmidt, who is performing a podcast on depression, together with the specialist in the field in terms of depression research. It's Professor Hegel, and they do an excellent podcast there as well, interviewing also people who have suffered from depression, also quite a few famous people who actually open up on their podcast. So this is also something that I recommend to our patients. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. So was there in your kind of recovery process, and I know you're still in it, but was there a moment where something just clicked about OCD or clicked about the way you get past it?
Yeah, actually, very stupid. How should I say? Very stupid comments like "you are not your brain, you're not your thoughts." Just That just the fact that you have a kidney doesn't mean you are a kidney. Because that way I could, you know, I could see it differently. Because I always imagine that every thought that actually comes to my head must have a meaning. Because otherwise, why should I think about that topic? And why should I think about that topic so much and in that and to that extent? So that was really, really helpful.
Yeah, really good point. And then I guess, you know, many people listening are at different stages of their recovery, but just any like words of hope that you want to give them, maybe words you would have wanted to have received.
Well, just stick with it. Never give up. And trust your gut feeling. So if there's something not feeling right, try to look for a second or even a third opinion. Yeah. And in my case, I mean, I had to contact like 9 or 10 people in the field, professionals, in order to not to get an answer to what I was suffering from. Right. Mm. So never give up and get in touch with people, open up with it about the topic. Try to trust people. I also opened up about the topic in my working area. So all my colleagues know about it, and also our staff members know about it. And that also has helped in a way, because they now also created awareness around the topic. So one of our physicians actually also asked me today, like, hey, I had a patient 2 days ago, and I asked screening questions about OCD and around OCD, and I'm pretty sure that this is OCD. What would you now recommend to do? So it has an immense impact if you are comfortable at some point of time to open up about your story, I guess.
Really good point, and good for you for being open. And as you say, that's going to help your colleagues now understand OCD better and destigmatize it, that it affects everyone. You've got a billboard in Cologne, let's say. What do you want written on that billboard?
Well, I would say it's not your thoughts that creates this this world. I think the Buddhist saying about that is kind of different, right? It's your thoughts that creates this world. So I would put it in the other way around. It's not your thoughts that creates this world.
Good point. So if you know, you could pick up the phone and call the 20-year-old Niels. What do you tell him?
Well, good question. There's nothing wrong with you. Just keep on going, keep on trying, and try to get help as much as you can.
Yeah, good point. And then lastly, is there anything else you wish you could have said or shared today?
Well, I think I really wanted to mention Martin and Burkhard here and thank them for their work for the German community. And I also wanted to thank you about giving me the opportunity today to talk about my experience and about big thank you about what you do.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It means a lot. Obviously, Dankeschön for sharing your story.
Bitteschön.
I appreciate it. And I know it helped many. So thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you enjoy the OCD Stories podcast and would like to support us with a one-time tip/donation, please go to theocdstories.com/support. All tips, no matter how large or small, are greatly appreciated. Please subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen to the podcast. And thank you to NoCD for supporting our work. And if you want to find out more about NoCD, head to go.treatmyocd.com/theocdstories or click the link in the episode description. And quick disclaimer, guys, this podcast is not therapy. It is not a replacement for therapy. Please seek treatment from a trained professional. And until we speak, take care.